if you have the prospect's number and you don't have their email, just cold call them, guys. I know we hate cold calling, yeah? But if it's that much of a high priority account and you don't have their email address, that is certainly an option at your disposal. I might use that if I don't get a response to my in-mail message.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jeremy, founder of QuickMail.io.
Hey, and this is Jack from emailsatsell.com. You've heard us say, never send to a risky email address before. And that's good advice because it keeps your bounce rate low and your open rate high. But what if you have a small list of high-value accounts and you just can't verify their emails? Do you throw away that list and forget about landing those customers? No, you don't. Because in this episode, we'll show you new ways to contact any prospect, even if your favorite tools are letting you down. Enjoy.
Jack, got a question for you today. Imagine I got a certain number of prospects, which is reasonable size, let's say 1,000, something like that. I'm good for doing cold email, but after narrowing the list down to the criteria that I think are going to be really good, I end up with 200 prospects. So far, so good. But here's the catch. Most of them are in catch-all type of emails, which basically means we don't really know if it's going to bounce or not unless we send the email. What do we do?
What do we do? That's a good question. So you have to think about ways to get creative if you cannot verify if the email's accurate, if it's going to bounce or not, right? So let's get creative. There's ways that you can verify that email without using, let's say, Never Bounce, which is my email verification tool of choice right now. And then there's other ways to reach out. So that's kind of going to be my answer. You can either creatively verify an email, or you can choose to use other mediums outside of email. Okay, so I'll give you a couple examples here, not in any particular order. Some of these are weirder than others, but here's what I would do. Here's some options. You could take all of those emails and build a custom audience or a matched audience in LinkedIn and or Facebook. So though you would not be reaching out from email, you instantly have access to these people, assuming that that email address is correct, right?
I knew you would say that. But I was thinking actually...
That's okay. I have like 10 things here. So you may not knew that I would say my others.
I think these tactics work super, super, super well when we got a lot of leads and it's okay not to sort of like contact them all. Because most of the time, actually, the leads we're going to get is probably going to be work emails. And that may work for maybe custom audience on LinkedIn, but more difficult for Facebook, for example, where people tend to use their personal email.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't really care about Facebook so much because we're B2B here. So yeah, use a matched audience if you want to try this out.
Oh, come on. B2B, there is plenty of people on B2B on Facebook. It's underrated, I think, and undervalued for B2B stuff.
Okay. Jeremy still likes it. I'm leaning more towards LinkedIn for sure. But let's keep moving because to tell you the truth, if you have 200 email addresses, I'm not so sure that a matched audience is going to give you a big payout. I mean, what are the click-through rates going to be? It's not really for that. So let's look at other things. The next thing I would do if I wanted to stay true and use cold email is I would use the LinkedIn Chrome extension in order to help me find this email address. So what's kind of like a nifty little tool out there, guys, if you download the Sales Navigator Chrome extension on your browser, every time you open up, let's say Gmail, when you compose an email, if the email address matches someone that uses that email on LinkedIn, then their profile will get pulled up right alongside. It's like Reportive.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, isn't that, but Reportive has been bought by LinkedIn. So that's probably why it sort of like merged the two.
Yeah. So basically what do? You just throw in different combinations of the first name, last name, and company domain until you see that account get pulled up. It doesn't work every time. Sometimes we use their Gmail address to register for LinkedIn. And if that's the case, we won't find them. But you may find a little bit less than half of the email addresses through this method.
And it's important because, you know, we're talking about like small size at the moment. We probably wouldn't advocate doing this if you got like a 10,000 prospect list, right?
Yeah.
Even for, in theory, you shouldn't get ever 10,000 prospects, but...
Yeah, if you have 10,000 prospects, you're not filtering enough. The idea is, how do you get...
That's right.
Let's say, what's a nice sweet spot here? I don't know. I like a list of like 300 prospects because it's narrow enough, but you can still do some testing with that number and get some meaningful results and learnings. So let's keep going. I have a lot of ideas here because just because a prospect's email doesn't come up the first go round, it doesn't mean we should give up on that account, especially if they're really valuable. So another thing you can do, maybe you can search on the Google for somebody's email address at that company. Typically, if they're, let's say, up on their content marketing game or just a larger company, you can go on Google and search for at domain.com, play around with that syntax, and the search results sometimes return both generic and personal emails at that company. So why does this matter? You're not going after just anyone's email at that company, but you can extract the pattern. So if you notice that someone in support or content marketing was paul.sanders@nike.com. I don't know, I'm making stuff up, but you can reasonably assume that that's the pattern for your prospect. And to be honest, if I have a pattern of someone else at the company and it's a high value account, I'll just send it and take a risk.
Yeah, I guess this is the other way of doing things, which is basically just go ahead and then, you know, try the 200.
But it's not quite like that, Jeremy, because you have to be intelligent about what email address you try. Because if it's an accept-all email, hunter.io or Neverbounce or, I don't know, whatever your favorite email finding tool is, they're guessing unless they've been able to extract it from searching the internet somewhere and finding that person's email, which happens sometimes.
That's right.
That's why I recommend going to Google as sort of a second or third resort. So I wouldn't recommend just testing any old email address because bounces do hurt our deliverability, and I really care about that. Instead, try and find a pattern. It brings your risk way down.
Just a small caveat on this one, actually. It happened especially when we're trying to target the executive level or the founder, most likely, level, which is sometimes they do have a different pattern than everyone else on the company. Like, for example, you know, if this is Bob Miller, as CEO of a company, he will just be like Bob at, even for the rest of the employee, which are like two or three levels down, will all be first name dot last name. So there's a small caveat like that, but I think it's way acceptable. The other thing is that there is sort of like a black hat approach, which is basically using another sort of system server in order to contact this list, especially when it's small list. And I know, for example, MailChimp has a hard time to get rid of this sort of like single one-time usage just to figure out if the emails is bouncing or not. I personally despise this sort of approach and I know it backfires, but that's something that is out there, right?
Okay, so we still have more options here. And again, this is mostly for a really small segment that has a high value potential for closing that account. So another thing I would recommend doing is just flat out use LinkedIn Sales Navigator and send them an in-mail message in order to get their attention. That's it.
Yeah, I like that. Just use a different approach, basically.
Yeah, and it's not even that much of a different approach. It's still going to land in their inbox. They're going to open it. It will be text. It's the easiest, closest thing you can do to a cold email for these prospects. In fact, it may be good enough just to basically mentally bookmark this approach and be done with this question, just because it's going to be there for you when you need it.
Yeah, some other sort of tactic that way is if you have the numbers, for example, you would send an SMS that say, hey, what's your email address? I want to send you something.
Right, but how do you get the phone number?
Well, you know, you got some tools that do that.
Sure.
I think Lucia or whatever costs like a fortune and it's actually working apparently. So,
but I have to say, if you have the prospect's number and you don't have their email, just cold call them, guys. I know we hate cold calling, yeah? But if it's that much of a high priority account and you don't have their email address, that is certainly an option at your disposal. I might use that if I don't get a response to my in-mail message. I might pick up the phone at that point.
Yeah, that's right. For 200, if I don't have the number of that person, I will just phone the company and say something like, Hey, I'm Jeremy, founder of Quickmail. I'm about to send an email to Richard Hendrick. Can you confirm me? His email is richard@pipiper.com, for example. I'd like to make sure that I captured it well, or, you know.
What would you say if the gatekeeper said, oh, you know what? We don't really like solicitations here. Who are you? Do you know this person already?
Oh, yeah, sure. I know Richard. No, whatever. But if you don't know it, there's, I think it's Chad Holmes. He's got like a great book about how to get past gatekeepers. Most of the time, it's about the tone and the confidence that you have in it. So if you come across as like, oh, I just want to send something to Jack, you know, what's his email number already? Or can you just confirm his email is that? I got two emails on my list. I'm not quite sure which one I should send to.
Cool.
And then if you give the right email, then people are just going to say, yeah, sure, that's the first one. Most of the time, it works very well.
That's great. And if the idea of cold calling a company freaks you out a little bit, it may be a healthy exercise anyways in its own right, no matter what they tell you. So,
oh, and if you feel like confident, you could even say like, oh, but actually, before I send an email, is he around? You know, and it just basically come from a small ask to, you know, a bigger kind of ask.
There you go.
Yes.
Foot in the door.
I love those ones. Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Okay, let's look at a couple more here.
What else?
If you don't want to do the in-mail route, you can send them a personalized LinkedIn connection request. Make it thoughtful, drop something that you admire about that person or the company they work for. And then once they accept your request, you'll get their email address. So as a first degree connection, you'll get all the contact information that they share on the network, which is really helpful. And 100% of the time, you will get their email address if they connect with you. So that's a free and very realistic idea. It's not going to cost any email credits. Definitely go for this.
And if you do so, please listen to episode 138 when we actually tear down LinkedIn invites so your invite doesn't look too bland and people will just ignore you.
Good call. And while we're talking about LinkedIn here, there's one more that I would use the network in order to get in contact with this person. Go to their profile, see if you share any connections together. Ask that connection for an introduction. And this is almost going to be your best foot in the door anyways, if you can have someone introduce you to them. So that's like, yes, more legwork. But if you want the best shot for sitting down with this prospect, getting them to jump on a call with you, a referral is pretty tough to beat. I have one more that, Jeremy, you and I actually used the hell out of this method, and it worked very well for both of us.
I can't remember. Tell me.
You can't remember. Come on.
Was that when we were in a sushi bar in Japan and I was eating my tuna fish or some stuff like that?
Not quite. So we were interested in getting meetings filled out with Japanese companies, but cold email is hyper illegal in Japan. And
that's right.
So what we did was we just filled out the company's contact form. And we just asked very generic questions, something like, hey, I have some questions about the Tokyo startup scene. We're looking to, you know, speak with founders about XYZ. Is it okay if I send more details in an email? And once they got back to us, you have that email address. And what was interesting was no matter the size of the company we reached out to, if there was a positive response, there was the person either replying with the message or a referral to the person to get in touch with because we were asking about the founder. And surprisingly, worked really well. I had my VA just sort through a huge list of companies and just manually fill out the contact form. What's the point here, Jeremy? There's so many ways that you can get in front of a prospect and start a conversation. And if you are thinking, okay, Jack and Jeremy always say never contact, accept all email addresses or risky email addresses. The deal doesn't end there. There's valuable accounts that you need to get more creative and hustle for than the rest of them. And so many options at our disposal, there's no reason to cross someone off your short but valuable prospecting list.
I got another black hat stuff. And people are going to think like I'm the pirate or the hacker here, but that's further from the truth. I actually never did any.
And they'd be 50% correct.
Oh, no, come on. You know me better than that, Jack. But it is actually, if you know what tool they're using, you can go to the website of that tool, try to type the email address and say, you know, either I forget my password or the just try your password. Sometime in very crappy one, unfortunately, I do know some crappy one. Then it will tell you, you know, the password is incorrect for this email, which means that person already registered with this email. So something like that.
Oh, wow. How about that? That's a good one, Jeremy.
But honestly, I way prefer the way of, you know, going through the contact form and, you know, specifying what audience you're trying to get in touch with. And if you manage to position part of the value proposition very well, people will pass along your stuff and then you'll get a proper reply as to like, hey, sounds interesting. You know, can you let me know a little bit more about this?
All right. Now that we're talking about it, there's another one that came to mind. This one should work most of the time as well.
Is it a black hat one?
It's not black hat. No, it's not. Unfortunately, I like black hat approaches.
Yeah, I'm the only one saying black hat stuff. I feel bad about it.
All right. Well, here's the thing. There's some list building tools out there that may have your contact information that you need. If it's not verifiable on hunter.io, it could be that Clearbit has this prospect's account. So maybe download the Clearbit Chrome extension. And just like we talked about using the reportive LinkedIn sort of hack, keep trying different combinations. Clearbit may say, hey, this one is the email address we found on file. You could also go to different databases and just see if they have access to it, because certain data providers are going to source their leads differently. And it could just be that one source has it while the rest don't. So maybe dig deeper, sign up for some free trials or pay for a month for certain tools to give you, let's say, the broadest net, the biggest chance that you could possibly find to grab that email.
Okay, now I feel really bad, but there is another black hat stuff that I got in mind.
Did you just find this? Cracking up?
No, it's true. You go to haveibeenpwned.com.
How do you spell that?
HaveibeenPwned.com. Have I been pwned? So this is going to be interesting. It's a website that reference all the emails that's been part of data breached on one of the tools. So for example, let's say you've been using tools ABC and in 2017, there's a data breach and that data breach has been made public. And part of it will be your email and password, but that website only shows the email and say you've been pwned. It shows this tool that you were using, ABC, was hacked in 2018 and your email is in. So generally, this is not like guest emails. This is people who registered with this email. So it could well be that the email is not valid anymore. But, you know, if I'm targeting Bob at a certain company and it turns out that this email is in that database, that's pretty much a good guess that this email, you know, is the right email address. Sorry for the X number of black hats, you know. Actually, I will call it a gray hat, this one.
Yeah, and it has an API, so you should be able to run through a list pretty quickly. I'm interested to see.
I like your eyes, sparkling eyes now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested because I wonder what the bounce rate on these are. It was probably pretty low.
Well, it depends, you know, because Bob may actually move to a different company. That's why you still need to make sure that Bob is still in place. But if you've done your research properly and you started with the company, then the people, then the email, well, then I think it's a pretty good way of doing it.
Are there any others that we're leaving on the table for the listener who's just looking for one more way that they could use that email address?
There is some tools that actually will refund you if you use them and the email is actually bouncing. I'm not quite sure what tools is doing that, but I heard back in the day, some of the tools were offering that as a guarantee or something. But
yeah, some of the premium B2B databases will offer that.
Yeah, exactly. But I personally hate it because you're taking all the risk. You know, you're still bouncing.
Right.
And basically the best way of still contacting accept all without doing all this research and so on is to simply mix it with real traffic. So if you space it well enough, then I think it's totally fine in your normal day-to-day traffic where you get email going out, replies, email going in, basically like a normal inbox, not a cold email inbox, then it's totally fine to drop one or two, you know, every week or something like that. I don't think there will be any problem.
Right, one or two, not. The danger is when you just run a campaign with risky emails, then you gotta kind of worry. But
yeah, I agree.
Maybe you don't have to worry. You just do these.
But bear in mind, this is a percentage.
Very true. Exactly. It's, let's say, a ratio between.
That's right.
The emails that go through and the ones that bounce. So look, lots of options on the table. No excuse to not pursue a good account, even if you don't have their valid email address.
That's right.
All right, Jeremy. Thanks for the detailed and not so piratey cast.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's great.
Thanks, Jack. Hopefully, Jack and I gave you plenty of ideas to try instead of playing Russian roulette and hoping your risky email won't bounce. Here's a quick summary of things you can do. Number one, use the emails to build a custom audience on Facebook or matched audience on LinkedIn campaign. Number two, verify email patterns using Google Search or Sales Navigator's Chrome add-on on your Gmail. Number three, connect with prospects on another platform to get their email address using LinkedIn InMail or LinkedIn Invites, or even ask people who are connected to both you and your prospect to for the contact details or an introduction. Number four, use another contact point for the company, that is contact form on the website, live chat, or listed contact email in maybe the disclaimer or terms of conditions. Number five, query online database for emails. There's plenty of online database where you can compare the email you find to the email that is supposedly working, or use a have been pound. And number six, cold call them or the company to confirm the email address.
Hey, cold emailer.
Yeah, you.
If you got some value from this episode, give us a high five by sharing a two-sentence review on iTunes.
Or Stitcher, or TuneIn. That works too.
It's a quick way to help other growth-minded folks like us find this podcast,
so they can send awesome emails
and make everyone's inbox a better place. Thanks.